Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks.
Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. I know my own podcast. And today I have with me beautiful soul sister, Sydney Decker, who recently reached out, and she and I were talking right before I pressed record, and we have a lot of synergy, and I'm just so grateful that you reached out and wanted to be on the podcast. So thank you so much.
Yay. Yes. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah,
and it's like incredible how parallel things are.
I know. And so what, like, before I ask questions, I should probably introduce you.
Yeah, good.
So among other things, because there's so many things more than this, but you are an Ayurvedic health counselor, which I love, intuitive healer, author, and your book is called Cleanser Energy Now, which I love. Yes. And what I also love is, and I don't mean this in like, I love this, but I understand because I get it, like how trauma informed your healing and your remembrance of who you are. And, you know, as we were talking a little bit about what was going on between us when our fathers died, I think that's a uncomfortable but good starting point to start telling me about your journey.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll give it a little preface just to add, because I think you'll find it interesting too, of how mine and my dad's energy was so intertwined. So my dad, can I say the S word?
Yeah.
Some people get uncomfortable by it and whatever. So my dad died by suicide in 2014. Actually, like I just told you, it'll be 10 years on April 21st this year. So before then, though, it's very interesting, because if I go back to about the age of 11, it started, maybe a little bit before that. I remember at age 9, it kind of started to creep in the darkness for me. But then at age 12, it was very prominent. And so I struggled a lot with my own suicide ideation. And when I was in high school, I actually had a plan of taking my own life, and I was hospitalized for 2 weeks. And then the plan obviously didn't go through, because I'm here, thank God. But I still didn't really get better per se. Yeah. Like, I still struggled a lot, and I still had a lot of darkness, and I was in therapy and trauma, and there's just like so much trauma that I just couldn't process and move through. And then I had some pretty heavy experiences happen to me in college. And so I tried to take my own life again in college. Oh, wow. This time I actually was able. See, I got to be very careful, because I don't want it to sound like people like good. Like, this is not good stuff.
Right.
But I actually like followed through with a plan, I will say. Okay. And I was in the hospital, and I had this whole like situation and this like dream experience where I connected with this counselor at the hospital, and he was like, let's go live through your whole life. Like, let's go understand where this really originated, where it really started from.
Okay.
And so I was having this experience with this counselor, but then I woke up and I was in the hospital, and my mom was next to me, and I was like, where'd the counselor go? And she was like, there's no counselor. There never was. And so then I didn't have I've been digesting that and integrating that. Like, after I got better, it took a while for me to be like, wait, that wasn't even real, but it was like so healing. And like, my life kind of changed and transitioned after that. And then, so that was probably like 2012. And then my dad ended up taking his own life in 2014. The crazy part about him taking his own life is it's probably like 2 to 3 months, maybe 6 months max, I had no more suicide ideation. So I didn't crave it in the same way that I had been craving it before. So don't get me wrong. I've like struggled with like thoughts, and every once in a while my brain will go to that extreme place. But before, I used to actually like give into it, and like,
oh wow,
it would take over me. Now I can recognize that like, this is just a intrusive thought. And it doesn't consume me, when before it used to consume me for like months on an end. So I wanted to kind of give that explanation to kind of explain like what my purpose is and how I found my purpose, because I feel like my dad and my soul's destiny were intertwined from the beginning. And so like it was almost like a part of both of our lives that we kind of like agreed to before we came in these bodies and forgot what we agreed to.
Right.
So now looking back on it, because as the 10-year is approaching, I actually just posted about him today. I'm just like reflecting and seeing how much we were connected and how much I took on for him and how much this is a part of my destiny. And if I didn't have this experience of losing my dad this traumatic way, I never would have understood and gone to the depths of my shadow and sat with my inner child and realized that this is what the universe is calling us to do, because there's so much shadow on this planet. There's so much trauma on this planet that we need people who are willing to understand what it means to transmute it. And we need people who are willing to sit in the dark and not be afraid. And so I had to have like some of the darkest moments in my life to prepare me to sit in the dark with myself so I could invite people into their own darkness just to show them that it's just a place and that the monsters, when you turn the light on, are just a sock or your cat or like running out of the closet. Like it's not anything that we think it is. It's just us having to become more conscious of who we truly are and that we do have the power to do that. But I needed to be brought to that place by experience. And some things you can't truly go to or you don't know the path unless you experience it. So it was like, and it sounds so weird, and I totally get this when I say this, but it's almost like my dad gave me that gift of darkness. So that way I didn't just have to save him. I could save all of him, which means other people on the planet that reflect what he's also going through. And so it's like I could have got caught up my whole life trying to save him. And then that would have, I never would have seen myself. I never would have dealt with my own darkness. I never would have gone in and realized that I am intuitive and I have these healing abilities and that I'm actually a bright light that is sent here to first and foremost understand that about myself, but to also help other people to understand this alchemization process of what it means to be human and how there's always darkness and there's always light and how we can work with it, and it doesn't have to be this overwhelming, scary thing. And I just got there, so I'm excited.
I love that so much because like and it's, there's so many things at the same time popping up. So like I knew when I was 10 that I came in here to heal all of the ancestral shit. And that I was not going to have children because I didn't want to bring it forward. And so that's how deep my soul commitment was for like clearing all of the ancestral stuff. And seeing the different layers of what I have healed for the ancestral line, it's just ripple effects out from there. Like I've had many, many opportunities to heal traits of narcissism in relationships with my partners. Like my partner's mastered gaslighting. Oh, so beautiful. Like, but I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know how to stand in my power while in relationship with people who didn't know how to stand in theirs.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to put it.
And also learned a lot about codependency and a lot about people pleasing. Because as women, we're that it's like the natural desire to help, right? We have that innate ability to like turn into like, I love cooking for people. Love it. Do I love doing it when I'm depleted? I don't. I used to do it when I was depleted, and then it took me like 3 days to recover from it. So the difference is like I've honed in that innate desire to love others, because that's one of my love languages is food, within the context of like still loving myself in the process. And that's such a like all the different layers of what we get to bring, like what we signed up for, and how we get to be present to those things, to integrate them into wholeness within ourselves. I don't know if everyone has signed up for that, but the ones I speak to all know that that's part of our mission.
Yeah, that's actually like a really big word that's been coming up for me is integrate. And what does that truly mean? Because I mean, I've had experiences where I mean, my whole journey of waking up, it's like you wake up and you just want to consume all this knowledge. You just start learning and you're just learning and learning and learning. And I started to be like, and then you start to get brought to like different groups and you start to like wherever you're at, you'll kind of attract a group that kind of resembles that. And so I was getting all this knowledge and I would meet all these like spiritual people that had all this knowledge, but they were still acting out like not spiritual things. And I'm not saying that there's like a bad or a judgment or there's a right way of being, but it's like I could talk with this one woman for like hours on end. And she would be like, do these things, do this, this, this. And I would do those things and it'd be great. But she was still playing a victim in her life over and over and over. You know what I mean? So then that's when I started to catch, like, okay, so you can learn something and then it just stays in your mental body. But then it's got to, in order for it to really drop down in, I started having these experiences where all of a sudden I'd be like, I would have read something 25 million times over. I'd be like, I know, I've read this. But all of a sudden, one day I'd have an experience and it would drop down into my heart and I would truly understand the knowledge that I read and then it would become wisdom. And then I'm like, oh, I can live this. I don't just read this. It doesn't just swim up here. It's something that, like, is a wisdom, and now I've experienced that wisdom, and I like how that feels, and I want to create and co-create more of this wisdom. So then that's where I kind of got with the knowledge and the wisdom. Then I still saw that, like, I mean, we're human beings, so don't get me wrong, we're still going to have our stuff. But I started to be like, okay. So even though there's these times with this wisdom, I still have like this subconscious programming that like still wants to like be in charge. So what do I need to do to really help my healing? And that's when I started to hear the word integrate, 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 integrate. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? And then basically I started to get this image or this description because I'm like a channeler. So like I get a lot of like images and feelings and like my guides and my higher self will explain things to me in more of like a natural way of like showing me. So it's like I was seeing these two cups of water and like one of them is cold water and you're pouring in the knowledge and the cold water is mixing with cold water. Knowledge is mixing with knowledge. And then there's hot water. And hot water is like your wisdom. And so hot water is pouring in hot water, and then the hot water stays hot. Like, so there's two cups and they're water. But to integrate it means to allow them to flow together and to create like a lukewarmness. But that's like what integration is. It's not one extreme or the other, it's bridging and it's like creating this flow of like consciousness and life. And so when you integrate it, you allow it to become part of you. So, like, there's so many times that I've noticed, even working with clients, they'll learn something and they just want to keep giving me the knowledge of it. But then I say, you have to live it. And so that's what that integration allows. It's like, you're not just knowledge, you're not just wisdom. This integration is allowing all of it to be there. So you have the knowledge, you have the wisdom, and now you're actually living in alignment with it. And that's what I've started to see as what integration means to me, anyways. And it's been something so like life-changing when you do start to integrate. Like, and I'll kind of explain it this way too, because it me and my friend, we talk on the phone a lot and we'll talk about like relationship issues, this or that. And we were talking about how there's times that we notice, like, I don't currently have like an active partner right now, but she does. And so but I've had partners before. And so we were like talking about how her and her partner have had the same conversation over and over and over. And he keeps saying, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. And it's like you hear this whole conversation out in the world where it's like communicate, communicate, hear each other, hear each other. But I started to say to her, you know, it's like, how many times have people or has he said to you, I hear you? But he's not integrating the hearing. He's hearing you, Like he's hearing you say that over and over and over. I don't take that away from him. I think he is hearing you.
Right.
But what he's not doing is taking that and integrating it and allowing that conversation to change something about how he's showing up. All he's doing is just staying in the knowledge of it. He's
Right.
not even bringing it into the wisdom. Maybe he does a little bit because he can empathize a little bit more. That's what wisdom
Right.
helps us.
Right.
But to truly integrate it would be he's allowing that conversation to change him in some way for, I mean, you can do it with bad things or whatever, but I would say in a positive way to
Right.
integrate that so they both can co-show up together and integrate with each other. So it's so funny that you're saying integrate because it's been in like almost every single one of my conversations lately.
I
And I've been
love
trying to
that.
understand what it means.
Well, for me, it's like, okay, so I have a practice, and my practice is of one of many practices, but this one's coming up, triggers. So I've done a lot of somatic healing. So when I feel a trigger, right now I just like feel it and it's gone. When I started feeling triggers, I'd be like, oh, this hurts, this really hurts, but this is like, and then I'd like feel into where it hurt in me. And there's one particular person who triggered me more than others. And I thank him because he didn't know that I had the trigger. I didn't know that I'd repressed it for so long. I didn't know I had it. And then all of a sudden my body's like feeling because I'm doing somatic healing. So I'm now present to the body and I'm like, oh, I can actually feel it. This is amazing. I can actually feel my feelings. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry because this is like so exciting. At the same time, this is like, wow, this hurts, but it's all good. And like, you can't hurt me because like you didn't know this was me. So now when somebody points out a piece of my subconscious that I can't see, I'm like, oh, let me feel into it. And it's not like the massive crying anymore because I don't need to because my body already knows it's safe. It's more like a, oh, didn't know that. Okay, thanks. Let me see if there's anything in me that needs to like communicate with me. No, I'm good. And so the practice has been integrated to the point where it's just second nature. And if something like in the middle of the night, I used to have anxiety attacks, like massive at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Best time to have them.
Yeah, worst.
I know. And so,
I've had one in the middle,
yeah.
yeah, like, where it wakes you up and you're, yeah.
Oh yeah. So what my body knows though is that I just shut my brain down and I listen.
Okay.
And I put my hands on whatever is discomforting and I just breathe and I breathe and I breathe and I breathe and I breathe until I feel the energy move. And then if it goes somewhere else, I tune into that part of my body and I just do the same damn thing. And I can be up for 3 hours just being present with myself because that's what my body wants. So I've trained the neural pathways to the point where my body knows if it wants to communicate something to me, I'm there. I'm not going in my brain. Like my former academic used to torture me with like, where is it? What is it? I want to know what's the root cause? Dig, 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 dig. I can't do that anymore because my body's like, nope, we're just going somatic right now. And I'm just going to feel into it. And that's just a habit now. And I love that. And that's the integration. It's like when it becomes a habit and it's not something you consciously make a choice to like, oh, right, I got to remember to do this. That's the integration is when you know the practice has become in it, it's like part of you.
Yeah, I was just about
That's
to
the
say a part
integration.
of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you allow it to make that change. You allow it to become in. You integrate. I mean, I guess there's no other word.
Right,
You
right,
integrate it. You
right.
allow it. Yeah. So yeah, that's like really. Again, we have parallels and stuff. But that's a big piece of what I help my clients to do too, is like the integration. And when your dad died, I know you're interviewing me, but I wanted to ask you,
Yeah.
like, for me, it made me relive everything. Like it made me look at my entire life. And nothing in my life has ever made me look at that way. Like, I mean, it almost like, even though I didn't die, it was almost like my life with him flashed before my eyes. And I wanted to know, because that's really what woke me up to where I needed to heal. Because before he died, I knew I had this pain because me and my dad, we did have some issues because he was an alcoholic. So he struggled and he moved away at one point. He wasn't always at home and these types of things. And so, of course, when I'm alive and he's alive and I'm with my friends and I'm going to talk about him and be like, my dad's meh. And like when he passed away, I saw that differently. I saw how I talked about him differently because, well, now he's gone. You know what I mean? But
Right,
before I
right.
had permission to kind of talk about him because he was here. And so, and it, I didn't necessarily, I mean, a little bit of me felt guilt about it, but at the same time, what I saw differently was why I was upset. Before I just was like talking with my friends. Now I was like, I really loved him and I wanted him around. And I was just trying to act big and tough. You know what I mean? In front of my friends, like I didn't need my dad when I was still. So that's what I mean. Like, did you have that experience, or is that just me, or I don't
Well,
know?
I had so when my dad died, so I had an amazing dad when I was little. Like he was just fun, he was silly, he was playful. His dad died, and his dad was my best friend. So when my grandpa died, I lost my grandpa, and then I lost my dad too because he had a lot of trauma that he never processed with his dad. He emotionally withdrew. My 10-year-old came up with a whole bunch of like crazy ass logic that helped me connect with him by watching basketball and a couple other things that like I don't like because I just wanted to be with my dad. So as I continued my life, like what his connection with me was reading the book jackets of the book he read. So like he was trying to, and he didn't know how to connect with me because he was emotionally repressed. So for me, like the day he died, he's in hospice and they're like, he's got a staph infection. I'm like, fuck that. I'm sorry. I'm touching this man. He needs somebody who's gonna love him. And so I caress him and like I was so gentle because I just wanted him to feel how loved he was. And then his sister called, who he hated, yelled at me because I was selfish, because I wasn't talking to anyone in the family, because I was focused on dad and mom, and I'm the only child. So I was like, nope, this is my life right now, watching my dad die, making sure my mom doesn't go crazy. These are my jobs. So like I'm just there and she yells at me. And then she wants to talk to my dad. And I think my dad just left because he talked to her or he
Oh
listened
my
to her because
God.
he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. So he was like completely paralyzed except for his eyes. And so what happened after he transitioned was like that moment where I felt his soul leave his body and scatter across the universe. I was in shock because everything I thought I knew, and I'd had other family members, like I'd seen every family member transition, but him, it was like, I can't pretend anymore. I know there's more to this existence than this third dimensional construct that we live in. And it shook me to my core. And then the life lessons he gave me, because he was obese and he was a hoarder. So he's looking for love outside of himself. So that's what sent me on the like self-forgiveness track that I listened to a meditation every day for 7 years for self-forgiveness ultimately, because I
That's
knew I had so
beautiful.
much to do. And then it was like, what am I putting aside in my life to please other people, to make other people happy? Why am I not living my fullest potential? Because he didn't. He did in some ways. And like, at his memorial service, I was stunned by the people that came up to me and said, "Your father saved my life." He was a math teacher and he got all the kids that were like failing out of school and he saved them.
I love that.
And so I got to see that level of compassion with him and his patience and his presence that he couldn't do with me. And so the regret I had was not being able to have that person in my life. Like that person that everybody was talking to me about. I was like, I wanted that person. Like I saw it in him and I knew he was a gentle, compassionate human being who repressed a lot of his feelings because he didn't know how to express them. So like that was a big mission for me, is like, express your feelings.
Yep.
Feel your feelings. That's huge. And then like, don't put your life aside for other people, because you're just going to get obese and be a hoarder.
Right.
And
Right.
So it was like, and that's all about not loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may trigger somebody, and I'm sorry if it does, but that's your trigger and it's not mine.
Right.
But like, for me, it was like, oh shit. Like, I have that opportunity to like shift me and follow my dreams. And like a year later, I quit my job and I started taking voiceover classes, because that was another passion of mine, was to do voiceovers, because I didn't want to not experience it. It's like, he never came out west. I live in Oregon, and he never came out west. And I was like, Dad, wish you came out. You would have loved to. So you could have been a park ranger. You could have done all these amazing things. And one day I was driving in Washington State, and rode in between Redmond and Seattle, and you can see the Cascade Mountains on one side and the Olympic Peninsula on another.
Okay,
gorgeous
cool.
Blue sky day. It was fabulous. And I'm on the bridge and I'm doing 60 miles an hour. I'm like, gosh, Dad, I really wish you could have seen this. I really wanted you to come out.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's like, oh yeah, this is amazing. And then he flew off, and I'm like, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, that's 30 seconds. You can't just like come in like that and leave. But like, you know, the fact that he sees, like, his biggest influence on me was the reverence I have for nature.
Okay. Yeah.
I absolutely love being outside. I get giddy when I see like a hummingbird or a tree talking to me or whatever it is, that presence of being in awe of what is when I'm outside is his biggest gift.
Isn't that interesting of like how you really see the gifts that they leave that have nothing to do with the 3D reality? Because like, I've started to see that too, of like, there's so many. I got my dad's humor. So when I was growing up, I loved his sense of humor. Like, I integrated it. This is where I started to learn. Like, I just loved how he would look at me and say something with this like sarcastic tone. Like, to me, it was funny because I got him. I got it. And so like, I literally got it, right? Like, I got his sense of humor. So now when I'll do something or say something and I'll get that look, I'm like, that's my dad. Like, I am my dad. And it's before, it used to like kind of freak me out. And then now I'm like, this is how I'm keeping him alive. This is how I'm like, this is where the DNA is that strong. And like, I learned this. And then, and it's also so interesting too, because as you were talking, you helped me to see something that I saw, but I couldn't put into words, because my dad's mother also died when he was 28. And so my parents had me very young. So I was 4 or 5 at the time. So I was alive when his mom died. And he was a very similar dad, like he that you described, like joking, loving, kind, tucking me in at night, reading me books, all these things. And then that happened, and I could feel a shift and a change, but at the time I was 5, so I didn't really notice.
Yeah.
But I started to really notice after I turned 7. And so at age 7, I don't know if you probably, like, you probably learned about this, but I don't know if other people have heard about this, but the most important years of your life are actually in utero to 7, to age 7. That's when you develop your consciousness, basically. That's when you start to, anything that's going on around you, you're a sponge and you're just taking it in. What's seen, what's unseen, what's said, what's not said, what's felt and not being told is felt. We are gigantic sponges. Like, there's so much we don't understand about the beauty and the magic of what a human being is. We see this physical body and we're like, we stop there, and I don't know why. Like, I just, it kind of like, it's like alarming why we do.
Right.
I'm almost like, I think that we're told to or something. I don't know.
Probably.
That's where it gets like conspiracy on you, but I'm not going to.
Oh, honey, I'm like, I've been so down so many rabbit holes. It's not even funny. So don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I have. So when you said that you noticed his dad died, he changed, your dad changed.
Significantly.
And now looking back on it, I felt it and I knew that's where it originated. Cause later on, I started to ask questions about it. Cause back when we didn't talk about it, like you didn't talk about it. And then now that my dad passed away, actually, My mom has shared a little bit more about that time, and I've gotten older, so I could handle a little bit more of the information. But she even said that he had so much guilt because he was supposed to go and see her, but he couldn't make it because he drank and then she died. And
Oh,
so
geez.
he, like, that consumed him. And so then what are you going to do? Like, if you have something that kind of, like, can I swear too?
Yeah, I
Okay.
just did.
Okay, so when you have something that fucks you up and it fucks up something else, you're going to continue to do that fucked up thing as a punishment to yourself. Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh,
So I
And he
feel
did. I
like,
mean, that's why he got fat.
right. So,
Like,
and
your
that's
dad
what my
became an
dad,
alcoholic. My dad became fat.
right. And my dad, he couldn't stop because that's what stopped him from seeing his mom. So that's what's going to stop him. And so it was so interesting when you said that. It just like opened this avenue in my brain to see that that's what he did. He withdrew more. I didn't get the fun as the as fun of a dad. I didn't get the as like he used to be very present and you would know when he was home. It's like then it became he sat in front of the couch with a cracked open a beer. That was not the original. That was not what my memories were. So it was just like very profound. And then I also think at 7 is when you get your own auric field and when you're no longer umbrellaed under your mother's auric field, whether she's in your life or not. So some people it could be a good thing and other people it could not be a good thing. For me, I became so, as soon as I got my own aura, I was like self-aware. Like I was just like always looking out to see what was going on. I could feel everything because I'm a projector in human design. I don't know if you know what that is. It's
I'm
like,
a manifestor generator, so yeah.
okay, cool, you do. So projectors are like are the sponges. So we even sponge up more because we plug right into people's soul centers so
Oh,
we can
wow.
help see and feel. So I can literally like plug into clients and then I become them and I can see what they see and feel what they feel. So at 7, I'm doing this with my dad. You know what I mean? But I didn't know it because how would you know this? So this is when I started to realize how intertwined we were. Is at 7, I started to really notice his drinking and I started to say, like, my dad needs help at 7. And then at 9, I was like, I told the universe to give me some of his darkness because I could feel it. And then 12, it really set in. So then I didn't even realize because he had moved across the state, it didn't matter. Me and him were simultaneously dealing with suicide ideation and thoughts and all these things and this darkness. And I was just so plugged into him that it was like influencing me and my darkness and my choices. And it was just like this whole like, I mean, it's been like 10 years of like having these awarenesses around how all that works and how interconnected we truly are. And there's something so profound about that parent-child relationship that is so sacred, yet is not talked about enough in this
Oh
world.
yeah. And I was, I mean, I'm an only child and I was the first born grandchild.
Okay,
I lived
wow.
2 houses away from my grandparents from 4 till, well, till my parents sold the house. Or my mom sold the house in 2013. So like I was the primary grandchild because of access. And I was the only one who had access to my grandpa because he died when I was 10. And my oldest cousin is 6 years younger than me.
Oh,
So
wow.
she didn't really get the connection that I did. So I had, when my grandpa died, he sat on my bed for 3 days, telling me he was okay. And I was freaked out because I didn't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I just saw him and nobody, like, the whole thing was really fucked up because, like, they wouldn't let me sit with my family during the funeral. I got to sit in the balcony and then I saw the open casket, like, with people I didn't really know. I was so much trauma with this that I have healed. But, like, I was like, you what? You did, all right, okay, 1970s. I didn't really understand how kids think, or 1980, I
Well,
guess.
that's true. Yeah, I was just about to say.
So like I'm astral traveling when I'm like 7. I remember tying myself to the bed so I could astral travel. So I'm already super connected, but I'm so freaked out. And there's 2 family members that got institutionalized in my grandfather and a grandmother. that I'm like, I can't really share this because I don't want to be placed in an institution because I know I'm not crazy, but I have absolutely no one to relate with. And on top of that, the second male of my life, who I was born with a dislocated hip, so I'm in traction for 6 weeks and then in a body cast for a year and a half. He was the one that carried me.
Oh, wow.
Super intense bond with him.
Yes.
He's the love of my life, right? I'm a little girl whose father carries her everywhere. And so, like, to go from grandpa teaching me how to fish, how to plant, ra how to pick raspberries, how to plant, how to like ice skate, and how to row boats, and then dad reinforcing that, having all of that amazingness to n literally nothing the summer he died. And like everything was just cut off. It was like, what just happened? Like, I couldn't process it. Plus, I have all this spiritual stuff going. I'm like, I have to just shut stuff off because there's so much trauma in the house right now. And mom's doing her manic depression, like control thing to try to bring things into control. And like, I see it all. And I have so much compassion for everyone. But like, that what happened was that little girl who had that really tight connection with dad longed for it because there was so much disorientation in the family. And so like I kept looking to reconnect that, and he didn't have the capacity for it. So I'd see glimmers of it, and like I'd go apple picking with him, and that would be like a bonding moment, which I still love apple picking. Any kind of berry picking, any kind of picking, I absolutely love. But like every time I do it, I remember him and the joy we had. And if I go out on a lake and I see like an otter or an osprey or anything, and I'm like, oh, it's that. But like it was that weird, like the bond for me was like trying to pull him back into himself because he was so traumatized that he couldn't, he was there, but he wasn't. And so it was like me trying to like, come on, Dad, come back, come back, come back. And that was where I was at in the journey because I didn't know how to, I wanted to fix him. Of course, we know we can't fix anyone, but I didn't know that at the time, and I just missed him.
That is literally like my experience that I started to realize too. And I also started to see how the darkness takes hold. Like, how, so, like, I'm gonna start talking about my book, I guess, because this is where it's like kind of leading me. But it's just like, I actually wanna talk about energy first. So, because this is what I started to realize about myself. So, after my dad died, I started to have the same things. And I started to realize, like, I was just trying to get him to come back. Like, I was so caught up in everything he was doing. Like, I mean, when I was a little kid, I had similar experiences that you explained. So, like, when my grandma died, I saw her too. She came and saw me. And so I told everyone about it. Luckily, my family was like slightly okay with it. So, like, they didn't think I was insane. Plus, I was five.
Okay, good. Okay.
And yeah, so but I told them because I had no idea that she had died. No one had told me that she died. I
Oh,
literally
wow.
thought she was
Okay.
in my room, but she was dead.
Wow.
So it was
Okay.
like, so my aunt was talking, was sitting at the kitchen table. I guess it was the day after that my grandma died. So they hadn't told me and my brother yet.
Okay.
And I was sitting at the kitchen table eating my breakfast. I was having cereal. This is the story that I was told. I don't remember this.
Right,
And I
right,
was eating
right.
cereal, and my dad's sister was in the kitchen with my mom because she came over to be with my dad and my mom too. But,
Yeah.
and they were talking about it and everything. And my aunt was crying, but I mean, I was fine. I didn't really. And
Right.
my aunt was crying about how I just wish she was, I just wish I knew she was okay. I just wish I knew she passed peacefully. I just wish, because my grandma died. We lived in Pennsylvania, and she passed away in Alabama, so no one got to her in
Okay.
time. And that, like,
Okay.
she lived there, like that's where she lived, but no one knew. Like, they said that it was coming, but they didn't meet. It was just this thing. And so I was eating cereal, and I put my spoon down, and I looked up at my aunt, and I go, "Grandma, she's fine. She came in my bedroom last night, and she picked me up, and she kissed me, and she hugged me, and she told me that she wasn't going to be seeing me for a while, but she loved me, and to let everyone know that she was okay." And then I just picked my spoon up and I started eating cereal because I
I
didn't
love
know. She
that.
didn't tell me. She's not like I told them she died. Like she
Right,
didn't
right,
tell me that
right.
she died. She just said, you're not going to be seeing me for a while.
Right.
So then my aunt, I guess, I mean, my aunt still tells the story to this day, like just looked over at my mom and was just literally like, think like it helped her, but it
Oh,
was kind of
cool.
so like shocking at what as
Right,
well.
right.
So it's kind of like, it's a very interesting thing. And like, I saw that stuff too. Like I could
Yeah.
do certain things and I didn't even know. I thought it was normal. And then people were like, wait, you're seeing those things? So basically what it started to show me is when my dad passed away and I had this like whole experience of like reliving or seeing my entire life with him. I also kind of saw like aspects of his life because I started to like talk to his friends and want to get to know who he was before me.
Yeah.
And he had lost a brother early on in his life. So when my dad was 13, his brother got in a car accident and died at 21.
Wow.
Yeah. And then his mom died. So it was like this, a lot of this stuff. But his friends told me that his darkness really set in at 13, which is mine also set in at 13.
That's fascinating.
Right? I just started to like realize like how, kind of like you're talking about with ancestral work, like the DNA, when it wants to heal, it's going to do the same things over and over and over until someone is aware enough to do something about it. And like
Oh,
you
yeah.
said, growing up at that time, like my dad, he was also a projector, come to find out, but he was also similar to your dad, just this loving, I could feel it, just this very sensitive, creative, amazing, funny, kind, like his intelligence was off the charts. Like, and I think that's part of probably his downfall. And that's probably
Right.
where, I mean, he did kill himself, like by shooting himself. So it's like that was also his biggest problem is his
Right.
brain. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like, so it's just like so interesting to start to, this is what I'm trying to get to start to say how darkness and how it starts to take shape and how it gets passed down and how it gets stored in us and then it
Yeah.
changes our DNA and then it changes the trajectory of like our ancestry, you know what I mean? Like how things happen.
Yeah.
So I think I was supposed to wake up to that fact. So that way I could start to see and clear it and make it like an actual understanding for people. It's not just this esoteric thing, but how, because you've been doing somatic work and I've been brought to somatic work, the body keeps the score.
Oh,
So
yeah.
how do I let this go? Because the triggers that we were just talking about like a few minutes ago, I get them too. Everyone does. But how do I disengage them? How do I like soften them? How do I start to take up space in my own body? Because those triggers are just where the pain was stored. Those
Right.
triggers are where we took
Right.
that on. And I started to realize that of like, this is not me. I'm actually hovering above my body most of the time. And what I'm using my body as is a little knapsack to store all my pain inside. So I need to take
That's
a
a great
moment.
description.
Yeah, I need to take a moment to clean out my bag because I'm trying to stuff more stuff into it and it's screaming and I don't have room
Right.
and things are falling out and I feel a mess and I don't feel good and what is this? And so my dad's passing and all these awarenesses and all these things, and that's also another story I could get into, but we've been talking for a while. It's like my dad tried to come to see me after he died.
Oh.
And I wasn't, he actually tried, I guess I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
He actually tried to appear. Like he actually tried, like I was conscious. It wasn't in a dream. It wasn't any of these things. And so it was the day that he died. So like he died in the morning. It was that night. So the night going into the next morning. And I was staying at my brother's house. And all of a sudden my brother, it was probably about 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. I was having a hard time sleeping. He was too, but my brother was like, all right, it's like 2:30. I'm gonna try to go upstairs and lay down. Like, if you need me, just let me know, come and get me. And so I was down in his living room by myself because he had a roommate and there was no other room. And all of a sudden I'm laying there by myself and I just start to hear this motorcycle. And at first it started like it was in the distance. And I'm like,
Okay.
okay, that's interesting. And then it got louder, and then it got
Okay.
louder, and then it got louder, and then it got louder. And then it was as if this motorcycle was in the room, in the living room, so loud, like I don't even know. And then I started to like kind of got stuck in like almost like a paralysis. It was like this
Okay.
energy came over me and like My hair stood up like everywhere, like my arm, like straight up, like chills just moved through me as I'm hearing this like motorcycle noise and all these things. And I'm not even joking. I started to see this like kind of looked like a fog, like this white essence-y, and it started to like appear, like as if something was going to be there. And I could start to see it on the ground. And I mean, I captured it and it started like it was going to be something. And I just screamed, stop. I'm not ready. I can't see you like that. And everything immediately, the motorcycle stopped, everything stopped, and it went away. The apparition went away. And I had to lay there for a minute with my chest. Like if I was a cartoon, it would have been like out of my chest. I had to lay there and then I ran upstairs to tell my brother. I didn't tell him all of the things until like the next day or whatever. I just was like, something, I'm just scared. I need you. And then it was okay. And then my dad came to visit me later on in a dream. But it was like, the funny thing about it is he used to ride motorcycles. He would take me on rides on motorcycles. So it was like this whole thing. And then you start to learn about when people pass away, like some people sound like a train. It's actually an energy. And so you get some time to walk around after you die. For like at least in the yogic tradition, you have about like 14 days until you have to. Well, you don't have to. Some people do walk around and stay stuck as ghosts. They get trapped in different. So that was just like an interesting thing that happened to show. But it just was. I mean, it opened me. It opened my third eye. Like it opened me. I just was completely shattered to my truth almost. And so I started to get to the point what I was making with this energy thing. I started to see and realize how much my dad was carrying of his trauma. And I started to see how I was also carrying it because no one tells us, no one tells us like we're told brush our teeth, take a shower, but no one says like, oh, did that person who said those hurtful things, that get lodged in your heart? Or is your anxiety in your stomach? Is there too much in there? Like, are you too fearful? And no, you know what I mean? Like, our organs store emotions.
So much.
Our meridians store emotions. Our lymphatic system is actually needs to be moved because it's our water and it's our emotion. And like, there's so much that we don't understand because we're not told and we're not taught. So I had to do a lot of this myself. And so I started doing Kundalini yoga. Which I gotta say, Kundalini yoga particularly because it there's a lot of breath work and there's a lot of like mudra, so it's similar to somatic. Like you're in mudras for a while, you're doing a lot of breath work, and that's what helps to change the neural net pathways. And we would do these release classes, and we would and it would be like I mean we'd be there for like 3 hours, but we would do these types of breath work, and then I would just sob and my body would shake and like convulse. And like if you're watching this from the outside, you're like, these people are nuts. But then the next day, I would have like creative ideas and this and that, and I would feel good and I would know, and I'd be like, something left me. I could actually tell that something had left my body and I was taking up more space. So I started to do that for like I did Kundalini yoga for like 6 years, and I was doing these healings and doing and getting Reiki and doing this stuff. And then my yoga teacher introduced me to cleansing baths and like soaking in these tubs with intention, though, not just soaking like my muscles are sore, like with the intention of letting go the sadness, bringing in your inner child, sitting, like just being naked and vulnerable with yourself and letting that water touch you and cleanse you and like notice, kind of like the somatics and noticing. And so I would have these. I would do these baths and then I would feel even like I would feel like squeaky clean, like internally, like because what I brought the intention. And then I started to work with the moon. And so I started to do a lot of writing and a lot of journaling and a lot of like talking and like releasing on full moons. I would write letters. So I wrote a letter to my dad about all the anger I had him. I wrote a letter to my brother. I wrote a letter to people who violated me. I wrote letters to like that one kid who put glue on my seat in like preschool. Like I just started to give things a voice. And then I started to sit with ages of myself of when I would remember, like, I mean, my 13-year-old self was like, she was, there's so much that she wanted to say, but she just couldn't. So I was like, what do you want to say? say. And then I talked back to her, and then she would talk back to me, and I'd be like, I am not just what people tell me I am, where I wake up, go to work, come home. Like, I am like, I'm all ages of myself all at the once. I'm also my mother and my father. I'm also my grandparents. I'm also the earth. I'm also like, I'm these things. And I started to realize, what's a word that I could use to describe this? Energy. We are just energy. And so it's this beautiful connection to my true authentic energy. And it's kind of started to my guides. I started to connect with my guides, and they started to show me, like, just like you clean a house, you got to clean your inner house. So that's when I started to do inner cleansing, doing all these things. Obviously, I started to work with like burning sage. You got to be very mindful of how you work with sage. Like, people can't just burn. Like, you got to be mindful. Sage is good for clearing, like on a new moon, full moon. Palo Santo, you can burn a lot of the time because it immediately transmutes negativity into positivity. There's just like certain things you got to have some knowledge about. You don't have to be afraid, but just know if you're going to burn sage and you don't tell it what you want to take away, it's going to take away everything that's not serving you. Like, that's sage is like an eraser that, like, if you let it go wild, it will erase. Like, it just won't stop. So, those things. So the one day last year, I got to this place where I was like, okay, how can I reach more people about this information? Because this is life changing and it's changed my life. And if I could give anything, if I could leave a legacy of just like what people need to do that's so simple, what is it? And so I was sitting on the couch. It was like probably 8 o'clock at night. I got this tap because every once in a while I'll get a tap on my inner shoulder, I call it. And it was like, you're going to write a book. We're going to write it right now. And I'm like, okay. And anytime that this happens, I listen to it. So I'm like, we're going to write a book about what? Because I was just watching, like, I don't, okay, whatever, cool. So I go and I like, sometimes, like, you know how you're just like unconscious. So I grab my computer, I open it, and I hear, you're going to write a book and it's called Cleanse Your Energy. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, this information is just like a download just came through. It's going to be a very simple, practical thing. And I just started to see as I was writing it, the core, like all the ways in which I've cleansed myself, like all the ways, like there's 7 ways, and they're just very simple, straightforward ways. And I'm like, I've never seen a book like this.
Oh,
That's just a
awesome.
very interest. It's like very short. It just explains to you what energy is. It helps you understand like how we're always picking up energy. Like, we hang out, we don't hang out at gar. It's like a literally example in my book. We don't hang out as at garbage dumps because that energy is stale, gross, dead. Like, we intuitively, even though if you're not an intuitive person, you just don't say to your friends, let's go hang out at the garbage dump, because that's stale, dead energy. You're not drawn to that. Whereas, but we don't think about the interactions that we have with the people that we take on. Like, someone at the red light who's angry at their mom beeps at you. That's an anger pass. Now all of a sudden you don't like to be beeped at, so you're angry that you got beeped at. That's an energy exchange, actually. It has nothing to do with the beeping. They were angry. You got a little bit of the angry energy hit. Like, so we're always doing these things. And I just wanted to help explain it to people. So it's just very easy, explains it, gives you practical ways like cleansing baths, how to work with Palo Santo, how to work with sage, not in a woo-woo way, just a very practical what it does way. Then there's intention. So setting your intention. I mean, the biggest way to cleanse your energy is gratitude. Like, gratitude, being thankful. But then there are practical things you have to start to breathe. Like, you have to start to do somatics. You have to go to that space in your body and breathe into it and out from it to give it space. So that way it leaves. So that way you can take up space in yourself. And then there's no longer any pain. And so that is what I really think, because we're at a turning point, and I know you feel it. We're at a, I mean, the eclipse is coming. Like, we're the universe is literally turning the lights off and turning it back on in humanity. Like, it's just like, wake up, everyone. So what people are going to need to recognize is, how do I start? Where do I start? What do I do? Because, you know, when you first, I mean, we had traumatic events that woke us up and no one was around.
Well,
We didn't
this is going to
know.
be traumatic, right?
Yes, yeah, it is. Because one, we're also seeing the decline and the death of humanity as we know it, as society as we know it. So that is traumatic, actually. You're right. We're all seeing so much death and so much destruction and so much just, to me, it's like pure insanity because we are such loving beings and we're pretending we're not. It's weird. So, because once you get to your truth and you no longer let your pain body be in charge, you are, your soul is in charge, your truth, your authenticity is. I do not want to hurt a fly. Like, I'm literally, I see a worm, I step over the worm. Before, I'm not going to lie. If I saw a spider, I'm killing it. Like, before I started cleansing my energy, before I started getting in tune, like, before I really started taking up space in my life, there'd be times where if someone hurt me, I wanted to hurt them back because that pain was a triggered in me. I didn't want it anymore. So I'm going to give it back. So it's like hot potato. We're just playing hot potato with feelings. So this is like really, if I could help, just where do you need to start? You need to start cleansing your energy. You need to start to understand that a lot of what you're doing is coming from a place of pain. There's no one on this planet that has not been traumatized at this point in our world and in our life, somehow, some way. Even if you had the most loving parents, someone at school did something to you, I guarantee it. Someone at a babysitter said something to you, somewhere, you have this pain. Even the earth herself has this pain. Just walking on, just being on the planet right now, we're feeling it. And so we're being asked to cleanse. That's what this eclipse is. It's a big cleanse. We're the w like more, there's more flooding, there's more fires. Like, cleansing happens through fire, cleansing happens through water, cleansing happens through the elements, you know. So Mother Earth herself is awakening and
Yeah, she
cleansing and
is.
moving around. So are we. And that's where I'll leave it. Because I feel like I don't know
Oh
how long I've been
gosh.
talking.
It's been pretty consistent for an hour.
Okay, I thought so.
Because clearly we're gonna have more conversations.
Yeah,
But I
we could
wanna
talk forever. Because now that I
clearly.
tapped into you, I'm like.
Oh yeah, we're yeah, we'll figure that out later. But for now, what I'm gonna ask you is how do people find you?
So you can find me at www.innerelementwellness.com. That's going to have like the best way. That's where my services are. I have a link to my podcast on there. I have my book on there. I also created a companion journal that goes, it's
Awesome.
called the Cleanse Your Energy Journal, and it takes you through a 21-day journey. So you don't have to think about it. All of the information is
Awesome.
right there, guides you. It will help you to actually go back and look at your energy and your trauma and your childhood in a very supportive way. So it's, you won't even realize that you're looking at it. I kind of created it that way. And I
Cool.
actually did the journal myself just because I wanted to see, because I didn't want to like tell people to do it and then not know. It really helps because I give you a release page, and this is what I found the
Oh,
most of.
cool.
So every day you have a safe space to release, which we so need. Even as kids, we would always couldn't wait to see our mom and our dad to tell them about our day. Like we lose that as adults, whether it's good or bad, you know, and especially the bad parts of our day, we need someone to talk to about. So it's like there's a release page, you get to just let it all out. So there's that on there. And then I have ways in which you can work with me. And so that's probably the best place. And then I'm obviously like on Instagram, and my book is only available on Amazon.
Awesome. Sydney, I am so grateful for connecting with you, for having this amazing conversation, and for just knowing you're on the planet with me at this time in consciousness. I am so grateful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And honestly, thank you too. Because, like I said before we started recording, the recent podcast episode that I listened to of yours was life-changing. And I'm genuinely just very grateful to know that you're out there too.
Thank you.
Because it just, I don't get a lot of interactions with a lot of people that get me, who lost their dad, who gets the thing, who's been on the journey. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my dear. So much love to you.
You too.
Preservation of our soul shine. I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.